Well, today, obviously, is a very special day on the calendar. First of all, it's Albert Garvey's birthday. That's really, really important. But it's more important than that. It is, of course, April Fool's Day. It's April 1. So did anybody play a trick or get tricked this morning? Any pranksters in here in our house? Everybody behaving? Well, foolishness is generally not a good thing. In fact, the entire book of Proverbs contrasts the way of the fool with the way of wisdom, encouraging readers to choose the way of wisdom. But sometimes the most brilliant of plans seem like foolishness to others. For example, there are those who never thought the automobile would catch on, and would not replace the horse and buggy for sure. Nobody thought man would ever go into outer space. But lots of things happen because people are persistent. But the death and the resurrection of Jesus is probably the most foolish thing of all time. Despite the fact that the death and resurrection of Jesus was not a trick nor a secret, but rather God's clear plan from the beginning, there were many who were fooled by it. Last Sunday, we looked at the religious leaders who knew and studied the scriptures, who should have been prepared for Messiah's arrival. But because Jesus didn't conform to their personal expectations, they not only wrote him off, they plotted to destroy him. They thought they were successful, but we see in our gospel reading that even when confronted by the truth again, they not only deny it, but they try to cover it up. They have the soldiers say that the disciples stole Jesus' body while they were asleep. Now that's a foolish idea for sure. The soldiers were risking their lives to perpetuate this lie. In fact, it says, look, if the governor hears about it, we promise we'll intervene so y'all don't get in trouble, because they knew that that was a death penalty asleep, a death penalty offense to fall asleep on the job. If you were a soldier and you fell asleep, then you could be killed for dereliction of duty. Furthermore, who wouldn't have heard that large, massive, sealed stone being rolled away? It probably makes a good amount of noise to roll that stone away. And yet, when Matthew writes his gospel, which is at least 18 years after this event, maybe even more, he writes that this lie that the disciples stole Jesus' body was being perpetuated to this day, the day that he wrote his gospel. Sadly, 2,000 years later, this same lie is being perpetuated to this day. Back in 2007, there was a documentary made called The Lost Tomb of Jesus. I don't know if any of you have seen it or not. It was on cable, and you can still rent it or download it. And it proposes that there is an alternative grave site in which Jesus was reburied, that his body was stolen from Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. His bones were later put in this family ossuary and were reburied. And I'm sure there are even more recent proposals than this one, because it's just too foolish to believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. I wonder if the devil was fooled by Jesus' death and resurrection. After all, Satan is not omniscient like God is. In getting Judas to betray Jesus, I wonder if the devil thought that he had sealed Jesus' fate only to find out that Jesus' death sealed his fate instead, marking him as defeated, and then, with the resurrection, showing that his work is finite, but Jesus' work is eternal. Certainly, Jesus himself was considered foolish throughout his entire ministry by all kinds of people, including his family members. While his mother believed him and followed him everywhere, Jesus' brothers and sisters derided him. They thought he was mentally ill. And only after the resurrection did they believe. At least we know James and Judas believe, because we have their letters, and we know James became head of the church in Jerusalem. But we don't know if they all believed or not. Certainly, we've already discussed that the priest said Jesus was possessed by a demon, and they didn't believe. Jesus was derided from the cross, not just by the Jewish elite, but by Jews and Gentiles of all classes and manners of life. But our 1 Corinthians passage tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God for us. I don't know anyone who enjoys being made to look foolish. It's uncomfortable. We feel disrespected. We don't like it. But sometimes it's better to be perceived as being a fool rather than to end up actually being foolish. Our epistle reading contrasts the world's foolishness to the perceived foolishness of God. The world perceives the message of the cross as foolishness. And what is this message? That life springs forth from death. Even more specifically, it's that Christ's death is a source of eternal life for all who believe. When we die to self and accept Jesus' death in our place, we are forgiven and set free. The message of the cross is our redemption in Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God makes the wisdom of the world look completely foolish. Logic and reason are stumped when it comes to the cross. No one could have ever dreamed up what God did. This is what Paul talks about when he says in verses 22 and 23 of 1 Corinthians 1 that the Greeks seek after wisdom. Yet Christ crucified is foolishness to the Greeks. And this is why the resurrection is so unbelievable. And yes, there is good evidence that Jesus actually did rise from the dead. But evidence doesn't prove everything. Again, in these same verses, Paul says the Jews seek a sign. They wanted evidence, and although Christ fulfilled all scripture and did lots of signs, and even said that the sign of Jonah would be the only one that they would all see, which was Jesus being in the tomb for a few days, this sign was a stumbling block for them. They missed that the Son of Man had to be crucified. At some point, you can only accept the way of the cross by faith. You can't reason it. You can't continue to look for evidence for it. It has to be received by faith, because it is foolish to both wisdom and sign seekers. Another part of the message of the cross is the equality of all people. We know that this is part of the message because what Paul writes prior to the part that we read today. If you started in the beginning of 1 Corinthians, Paul is fussing at the Corinthian church because the Christians are being divisive. They're trying to outdo one another. They're putting each other down, particularly a group that was meeting in Chloe's house. But when it comes to the foot of the cross, the ground is level. Each of us have committed sin worthy of death that has been forgiven. When Jesus died, he took all sin upon himself. And there is no one's sin that has not been paid for, and no one can gain access to God and forgiveness of sin without going the way of the cross. There is no one whom God does not love, and there is no one for whom Jesus did not die. That does not mean everyone will be saved, because there are those who foolishly refused to accept the way of the cross. Paul makes this point in verse 21 that it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Faith is necessary for salvation. Just as there were all kinds of people, both Jew and Gentile, upper class, lower class, who derided Jesus on the cross, there are all kinds of people who believed and who believe in Jesus by faith. But the foolishness of God, in the foolishness of God, we who were and are deserving of death are now considered righteous and holy in Christ Jesus. The message of the cross means that we need to stop thinking that we are better than others or more worthy of God's love and forgiveness than other people. It means we need to stop seeing ourselves as superior to others. Paul will talk a lot about this as we go on in 1 Corinthians, if you will continue to read that letter. And he's specifically addressing folks within the church. He will say, yes, each of us is gifted differently and have different roles, just as I shared with the children in the story of the fish with different roles and different gifts. But we are no more or less important than any other church member. Just as the fish all needed each other. Paul will say in his letter that we need to honor, to love, and to serve one another. He will remind us that our gifts and abilities are given by God for the benefit of other people. The foolish way of the cross is the foolish way of equality. The way of the world is to put people in their place and to keep them there. But for us who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. It is power to us and to others. The message of the cross is both humbling and empowering at the same time, and that makes it very foolish to the world. In this 1 Corinthians passage, Paul says that God intentionally chose that which the world thinks is foolish to shame the wise, and the things that are weak to shame the strong. Jesus' kingdom has always been an upside-down kingdom, where the last are first and the first are last, where the poor become rich and the rich are sent away empty. Paul says God chooses the lowly and insignificant things, those things that are despised and those things which are nothing, to bring about that which is. And God does so in order that no person can say to God, "Look what I did." Because it's not about what we can do, what we have done. It's about what God has done. Somebody that I was reading this week said, Easter is a spectator sport. You don't have to do anything. You just have to watch and see what God did, what God is doing, what God has done. God gets the glory. 1 Corinthians 1:25 reads, "The foolishness of God is wiser than people, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Sometimes it's good to be a fool. May we join Christ in his foolishness. Foolishness that says, "I need a Savior because I cannot save myself." Foolishness that says, "I am no more worthy of God's love than anyone else, so I will treat all people as those whom God loves and for whom Christ died." Foolishness that says, "I will give everything I am and have to God because it's all a gift from him, which he has given me to use to bless others." Let the world call us fools because we have the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. Perhaps you've been embarrassed to claim Christ because you don't want to be perceived as a fool. Will you surrender to him today? Will you be bold in proclaiming and professing and sharing your faith with others? Even if you already know Jesus, but you, like Peter, have denied him for fear of being mocked and criticized, confess that and be restored just as Peter was, and became a bold preacher for Christ. Maybe you haven't received Christ because you're still waiting for evidence, or because you have found the death and resurrection of Christ to be something illogical, unreasonable, or downright offensive. Jesus said that all who come to him must stumble. He is the chief cornerstone, which has become a stumbling block, a rock of offense, a scandalon for all people. Jesus says all who fall on him will be saved, but on whomever he falls will be crushed and lose their souls. Take a risk and fall into Jesus' open, loving arms. You will not be disappointed. If you are wrestling with Jesus, it is because Jesus has already been making himself real to you. He's already been calling you and drawing you to himself. So embrace the foolish way of the cross. Embrace Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, your way is a foolish way. The world calls us fools. What we are doing today by celebrating your resurrection is perplexing to many. They just don't get it. But Lord, your way is the way of true wisdom. And you do it so that you get all the glory. Help us to be fools for Christ, bold in sharing the wisdom of God with a foolish world. Help us to proclaim what we cannot fully understand, to believe and accept that you are indeed our risen Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you that you love all people, that in your foolish death you took all of our sin upon yourself, that there is no one who is outside the realm of your love. So for any who may have been thinking that they cannot come, may you make it clear that the door is open. Give faith to the faithless. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Let us now stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed as found